Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. And we pray, Lord, to open this precious book. And it is a precious book, Lord. We know very little about it, but we do thank you what little we do know. And we pray we'd not waste our time on things that don't have any value much. But this book always had value, but many things are not meant for us. They may be a foundation to lead us to where we're at. But we want to look at those things that are in our day meant for us and help us tonight to grow in grace and knowledge a little bit more. We're creatures of gradualism. Lord, I know this knowledge don't come just all at one time. It's over periods of times. In time you study, it's wearisome. But Lord, the result is wonderful as we come to such place as a night. And I pray you'd help this frail body be the instrument in your hands and somehow bless people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, sister.
I got to see my dad for the first time since he got saved in August this weekend. That's taught him a lot.
Yes.
He was 83 in a couple of days. And all he could do was, he would go, Brian, thank you. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for the 30 years that you've told me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as I was leaving, I just told him, and I said, I'm so glad I'm going to see you in heaven. And he just
appeared. Amen.
Salvation means a lot. It means everything.
Yes, it does.
You can have all the money. You can have all the friends. You can have anything your heart desires. But if you don't have salvation, you don't have anything.
Amen, sister. Thank you for sharing that. How true that is. Amen. And, you know, I think that sometimes things here are rejoicing, but it's not going to be like it is in heaven. And we get there and see what the blood of Christ has done for all of us and know that our loved ones are there because they believe the record is like we did and received Christ as Savior. That's enough to shout about and think about and praise Him about in our day. I want you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to do a little something tonight. I've been working on a little bit. You've heard me say many times that my life verse, and I've signed a number of Bibles through the years of my ministry, and I signed Philippians 4, 13 and 19 because they're my Bible verses. I can do all things through Christ. His truth strengthens me. And then, as Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. But I want to spend time tonight on chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And when I see the all things, I realize that some people use that and say, well, if that be the case, I can do all things, good or bad. No, if you know Jesus, and he's speaking here, he's not talking about anything except please the Father. And I believe it all in my heart. It simply sets forth that I need to do for Christ's sake the things that are done. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me, but I need to do it for Christ's sake because if I do it for Christ's sake, God the Father is going to be pleased with it. And so when you face things in life, ask the Lord to help tonight with the message. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, to approach this as a verse of Scripture is not a crutch. It's a promise. And I find as I approach this, I look at things in study, and you heard me say many times, of course, 2 Peter teaches us in chapter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that's from the day we get saved. But on the other hand, I began to look at life, and Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the knowledge he's talking about is about our Lord. Many years ago, I set a little ratio up in my mind about how to accumulate knowledge leading into the message tonight. I don't know if you ever looked up here, but I've had a little set on this pulpit for years. Some people may have seen it, may not see it, but it reminds me when I stand here. Why is that? Because I need to remember some things that God has promised and realize that this is not something just to do. It's something that God has given as a ministry. Give something in turn, not just fill time, but use the time for His glory that He may fill it by getting people into the kingdom of God. And it simply says this, oh God, help me preach scripturally as Christ did, simply as Paul, earnestly as Philip, loving as John, power as Peter, affected as the woman of the well, and live a consistent life as the church did at Thessalonica. In Jesus' name, amen. And I did that because I believe with all my heart I need to be reminded sometimes that this is a precious place to stand, and I need to be prepared. And I cannot be prepared unless the scriptures would do God said they would do. So I looked at a format of studying. I mentioned this before, and I mean to mention it tonight. When I talk about knowledge, I look at observation gives me information. When I talk about knowledge, I begin to look at observation, it gives me information. That information, God helps to bring about interpretation. And interpretation gives me revelation. And this is a process of time of studying. When God gives me revelation, then he has illuminate that revelation so I can apply it in application of my life before I even do anything else with that. And you're going to see tonight, as we look at this theme and get it involved with this, that we face a lot of things in life. And many times we want to know the reason why. But I find this out in looking at Paul, why he said this in his ministry and some things that happened in his life. Paul didn't necessarily have to have a reason because God gave him a revelation. And when God gives you a revelation, you don't have to worry about the reason because you'll understand more about things. And so God gives the peace that passes understanding sometimes because in the middle of circumstances, we're not ready for revelation. We want something to happen quickly. But God, I found out, he doesn't act just because I ask him every time. It's not that he's not there, but I fully believe that anything comes my way, God has seen beforehand, and he realized if I handle it correctly, it'll do more good for me than for him to answer like I asked it to be done. And I see that again over and over, like we saw Lazarus. Martha and Mary's brother died, and when they sent for Christ, who loved this family, he refused to go. And 4 days later, when I say refused at that time, and he was there 4 days later, and Lazarus had already died. And you see every incident God did something, you'll find out that what he did was more for the future for them than what happened right then, temporary. And God sees that because he wants us to understand that he's more just a God of healing, though he can heal. He's the God of life. He's God of directions. He's the God that brings us to peace, that passes understanding, and gives us information to get us to the place until he can tell us exactly how things will be done. So if I apply this correctly, then Bible truth is we believe the record that God gave his son, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 13. We receive the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1, 12. We are conceived by the Holy Spirit of God through the incorruptible seed in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. We obey the word of God, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. I'm talking about the information that starts with knowledge, observation, and the things in sequence to get it to where it needs, for God starts it to get it where it applies to my life. And it's applied to my life, then in turn it will be seen by others as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So we obey the word of God, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And here we become a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And this is the process that God has for us to get us home. Salvation comes instantly. But the process begins to be seen outwardly, gradually, as we serve God and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So God's word is information. And information must become revelation. And you heard me say before that I can give you information, but only God can take that information and give you revelation. And therefore help you to understand that by interpretation. God has to do it all. He has not only to give revelation, but gives interpretation. We try to interpret something ourselves, we get it wrong, but we need to let God help us through the revelation, gain that interpretation. So tonight I want to talk about I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. In Acts 27, a few weeks ago I preached a message on that subject where Paul was going to Rome, and he knew he was going to Rome. And so here in Acts 27, Paul was going to Rome in prison, but he's not going there for something that he did that was wrong. The only reason that he was going where he was going was because he was a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God had his hand on Paul, that wherever Paul went, whatever happened in his life, he knew that he was in the hand of God. Now, it doesn't mean that Paul knew everything he came to that was going to just be hunky-dory. Paul knew he was going to Rome, but Paul didn't know he was going to go to Rome the way he went through the Mediterranean Sea and Crete and all of that in a storm. As a matter of fact, if those men at Crete had listened to Paul in Romans 27 and 28, if he'd listened to Paul when they were there, he'd have never got in the storm. But they didn't listen to Paul. They left thinking they knew more than Paul because that's all, they were sailors, and Paul was a minister of the gospel. And yet they ended up in shipwreck because of that. And so in the situation, everywhere Paul went, it didn't matter to him, because he was sold out to God. And he knew, so just like we know here, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And he knew wherever he was at, that would become the mission field for him. He didn't determine who the mission field would be. He determined where he'd be a mission field wherever he went, because he was serving God. An attitude that we don't seem to have in our day as much so as you see Paul given, and that certainly the apostles and other writers given in the New Testament. And so this shows us at times that to be in the will and the purpose of God, we're going to have consequences. It'd be nice if we could just serve God and never have a consequence, wouldn't it? It's not because that we ourselves are doing something wrong. It's because that someone may not like what we do, and in turn, we feel the pressure of something wrong. Did you know, folks, if there's a lot of places, and maybe in our own nation today, if we were at the right place, just because we named the name of Christ, we are an enemy to people. They don't like that. Because there's something about Christ's name that disturbs people. And so Paul's experiencing at this time, and this consequence amazes me, he is experiencing both a lot of faith and some level of frustration. Yet he had the peace of God. He had the assurance of God. He had not only the reason, it was overrided by a revelation that God had already taught him he's going to Rome. Didn't tell him how he'd get there. If he had, he'd probably scared him to death. But he did get there, didn't he? And did all the things that God said to be done. And so Paul was not so holy and sanctified that he was not beyond the point telling the sailors, I told you not to sail from Crete. Yeah, I told you it would be a bad idea, but you wouldn't listen in Psalms Acts 27 and verse 21. Yet, what is about to happen to the Apostle Paul in that shipwreck is an inevitable thing, but the situation could have been avoided. Now, this amazes me how God manipulates things, gets his people where he wants to be at the right time with the message they have. In other words, here Paul knew he was going to Rome, but seeing what he had to face to get there, I mean, he never thought he's going to have complete shipwreck. After all, God doesn't work that way. Does he? You might be surprised what God allowed you to go through just to get where he wants you to be at. And here what you find, Paul is moving, but now suddenly he's having, God gave him a revelation, facing what he's going to have to face. On the other hand, he's going to be, instead of getting off of that ship like he got on the ship, it's going to disintegrate. He's going to be in the water. He's going to end up on a cold, damp island in turn that he's not even knows who, he can't even speak the language. How in the world is he going to be in the mission field there? Because wherever Paul goes is a mission field for him. He's sold out to God. And he's determined to be used of the Lord. And so now, I think this shows us that some things that happens to us are the results of our poor decisions at time in life. But some things are not because of our poor decision. It may be because of someone else's poor decision. In this case, God gave him the right decision, but he had no power to make it. And so he tells them, and those who had the power to make the decision not to go and wait decided not to, and in turn, Paul and everyone on that ship, 200-something people, ended up in the water. And also, not one of them died, though. God gave Paul the assurance that not one on that ship would die, but they're going to have to get on board. They're going to have to swim. They're going to swim for their life, even though God is protecting them in that situation. And so this shows that some things that happens to us in life are the result of poor decisions in somebody's life. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, Isaiah said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. That is, it won't hurt you in the end. Because God, if you're doing the right thing at the right place, at the right time, God's preserving hand is there, though it may not look like it sometimes. See, man can never outrule what God's going to do. And that's when he's going to end up victorious, and so shall we one day. But sometimes, listen, we can form weapons against ourselves by disobeying God. Yet it is another thing for God to send us into a storm that we did create. If we created a storm, God allows us to go into it, that's something. But if we're serving God and he creates a storm or allows a storm to come for us to go through, that's something else. And God's letting us see that when He creates a storm or allows us to go through a storm, just because it looks like it's not going to be, it looks like it's going to be hopeless, His preserving hand is still there. And you know why? Because if He did sometimes make it look like it's going to be hopeless, when we came out of it, we thought we did it. When we come out of a storm, God's going to show us He did it. And you're going to have to praise Him for it, because you're going to say, I didn't know what was happening. I just did my best to be where I need to be for God, available. And when I got through the side, and then you could say a resurrected side of the storm, in that case, he found out that God kept His word, and he believed that all the way through the time. And I see it's very difficult to believe in the phrase, He will deliver us, when we do or do not do something that puts us into a situation that becomes the result of our own bad decisions. This is the easiest thing to say. And by the way, it is comforting. God will deliver us. God will take care of us. God is going to take this thing and show me. It's good to say that, folks, but it's more than words. It's more than words. If I say it just because of words, God may let me think, hey, son, I'm more than words. You're going to have it in the depth of your heart and soul and realize you'll come right to the very end where you think that everything's going to cease before you see and get in your heart to know, I have nothing else to turn to but God. Yes, sir. If He doesn't do it, it'll not get done. And that's when we see He acts in our lives many times in this life. So we all have stuff that we're dealing with and may not know the reason for it. God gave Paul something better than a reason. Many times in life, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But many times in my life, I've faced things I had to ask why, folks. And I've faced many of you. I've sat with you and seen you weep. And many through the years have gone on by me, Lord, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I love that verse. I'll tell you, I thank God for it down through the years. God called Paul something better than a reason. He gave him a revelation. It might be that in some of the stuff that we face in life, some of the stuff that we go through in life, we try to understand it to make sense too soon. And sometimes we say, why? And what you can only say is there, you can't answer the why, except God is in control of our lives. But I tell you, when He gives you an answer later for the why, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, be honest with you, I've been hurting so bad sometimes that even when I'd ask God why, if He'd gave me an answer, I wouldn't have heard it. When I ended up in the hospital in 92 and that empire of viral infection in the coma, and I was hurting so bad when I got there, I'll be honest with you, I think God know what I know mentally, but when you get in physical pain to the place that you're hurting, right then and there, you may say, Lord, please help me, but you're hurting so bad, there's a lot of things you forget because of pain. And God, but I'm so glad that when your mind gets absent, God hadn't forgot us. And I know this, nothing can hinder us from having victory in the long term of our lives. And so it might be that some of the stuff that we go through, we try to understand. And sometimes we may try to understand it too soon. You say, but cannot God tell me right? Yeah, He could, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, we're in agony sometimes. We may not be able to get it like He tells it to us. Let me tell you something. Your Father's going to tell you, and He's going to show you, and He'll impress your heart when you can really receive it. And that's what will be a blessing about. So two quick points tonight on this thing. I knew all things through Christ that strengthened me. The first one is simple this. When you ask why and have not a reason, why do we have to go through some situations in life? If God could have stopped certain situation, why didn't He stop it? I've had that happen many times. But God must not could have stopped it. Listen, God can stop or start anything He wants to, anytime He wants to. And by the way, He'll be right when He does it. And yet, we talk about why does such a thing happen. If God could have stopped something, then why didn't He stop it? We don't need a reason. We just need a revelation as why. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said this to the church at Ephesus. And I love this because notice what he says in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It isn't that God can't do beyond what we ask or think. According to the power of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God working in us. And then he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ. May I tell you something, folks? Anything you and I go through with and God gets glory out of it is worth it. If I can come to death doors and give God praise when I leave this land, that's worth more than anything could happen. Because at the worst circumstances in life, it became a mission field to give God praise. But it's an amazing thing sometimes how we look at things. The fact is, we can give God praise, ladies and gentlemen, even in the worst circumstances, and yet at the same time, not have to have a reason for it. Just know that God does things right, and the revelation will come sooner or later. I'm believing in heaven. I believe when he said, eyes not seen, is not heard, neither is in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them to love him. I believe that, but I've not seen it yet, but it changed my mind. Because I know one thing, that fact, now by faith, one day is going to be a revelation. And I'll be able to see it with my glorified eyes on the other side in a glorified body one day in the near future. And so I understand here we need to remind us, we need reminding as to who God is. Because God is able to do anything. And you heard me say just a few weeks ago, the messenger brought in, when Lazarus died, and he waited 4 days before Jesus went there. And when he got there, raising Lazarus from the dead is much more than healing him. Because not only is he a healer, not only is he the great physician, he is the resurrection and the life. He has the power to raise from the dead. He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children. To have faith in God is to have revelation that exceeds reason. If we have to have a reason, we may not get over it as fast. But when we have a revelation, God gives us complete understanding. What I'm going through with, I'm not alone. I don't like pain. And I don't mind going to my Heavenly Father and say, you heard me say, I don't mind going to God and say, I don't love pain. But if I have to suffer pain, that God can get glory, then it's a good revelation for me, because anything for God's glory is going to be for my good, no matter where it's at. And I see something that's taking place. To have faith, if in your life you always have to have a reason, your faith can only take you so far, and you come to a dead end. Keep in mind that in the moment of a crisis, the reason is not the important thing. In a moment of a crisis, the most important thing is our purpose to our revelation. Why, Lord, is the purpose for this? If it's because of sin, I need to confess it. If it's for your glory, I need to ask you to help me bear it. And he already said you never leave me safe, so you're going to help me bear it. And therefore, my life is constantly, wherever it's at, a mission field. Where it be here in this pulpit, where it be in my office and counsel someone, where it be Chick-fil-A, every place is a mission field. The second thing I say, notice what happened when Paul landed on the island of Melita in Acts 28, verse 1 through 15. I say to you again, Paul had no idea that he was going to have to face what he had to face, but he knew he was going to Rome for something that he had not done that was wrong. The only thing he does is preach the gospel of Christ and ended up going to Rome, and he just said, wherever I go, when I get to Rome, I'll do the same thing I did over here in Israel, in Palestine, in Jerusalem, in different places. And so, This island was a rainy, cold, unfamiliar, uncomfortable place with people who didn't even speak his language. And Paul was going to Rome, but he had to spend some time on this island. Melita is the place that he had to go to, but it's a place that he didn't want to go to. He didn't expect to go to when he got on the ship. He thought he was going to Rome. Go up around the Mediterranean Sea, the northern part of it. Just a little while, you've been in Rome. Next thing you know, he's out in the middle of the sea, that Mediterranean Sea, on an island that you don't even know is there. In fact, you can't hardly see it on the map. God let him go that way. Well, a couple of things Paul knew. And he found out that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. All Paul wanted to do was serve Jesus Christ. And for that, he was in prison. Paul had something to say about the theology that states, if we serve God, we will always be at peace in life. But peace in life may not be seen by others. Peace in life can be, I have peace in my heart because of who Jesus is. And I have a peace that passes understanding, even though I may have a little fear. As a matter of fact, there's a little fear in all of us. Faith should remove fear. But fear sometimes will cause us to act different. Fear will cause us to act cautiously. It might be sometimes a little fear causes us to act right. Aren't you glad you know whatever hangs over your head, God's in charge of it? Now, there's a lot of folks denying that today because they said, if God could change something, why didn't he change it? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't care what we face. God can change it if he wants to. But if he doesn't, our reason is not the reason that he doesn't change it. He wants us to see the revelations coming later going to show, did you really mean that you were going to serve me? Did you really mean that you were going to obey me? Did you really mean that you're going to give your life to me? Because wherever you are, if you've done that, you don't have to go to the mission field to be a missionary, though there's nothing wrong with that, because God sends not only Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the first parts of the earth, other parts of the earth, but you have to be, everywhere you go should be a mission field to give the gospel. That's what it's about. And I go. And many times, I know we all fail to do that in our lives. So Paul wanted to go, all he wanted to do was serve the Lord. And for that, he was in prison. And you look at about the theology that he states, if we serve God, we'd have peace in life. But it is not what Paul said about his situation that matters, but what he did about his situation. When you read that story, again, read it now. Go read Acts 27:28 again, and you'll see something in that. It'll be a blessing to you, I assure you. It was the way that Paul responded about his situation that really mattered. Not only did he go through a storm, not only did he have to, the ship just completely was destroyed, not only did he, and the water was wet, not only did he have to get on a plank and get into the shore like everybody else, nobody died, but it was they all fared. There was fear on that ship. And when you look at that, you see that Paul, of all things in the world, once he got on that land, all of a sudden, they were thankful that God gave them land. They were thankful that God had land for them to land on. They were thankful that that land was a place of safety. They were thankful that Melita was a place they could have refuge. But in God's mind, Melita needed Paul more than Paul needed them. Because where he was at the mission field, on the boat, he was a mission. When he was on the land in Melita, it was a mission field. They needed him more than Paul needed them. He didn't know that. Why? Wherever Paul goes, he was going to preach the gospel. Wherever he goes, he's going to show he loved what God had done. And so that's the reason why when he began to pick up those stakes, and suddenly, let me ask you a question. Do you think Paul would have said, you know, if God lets a snake bite me, I'd be all right? Probably so. But did you know when he started getting those sticks up, that snake bit him, latched on to him? He didn't expect that. By the way, let me ask you something. If you'd been through what you've been through, you know, and of course God had told Paul he's going to Rome, so Paul knew that even when the snake bite, who wants to be bitten by a snake? Especially a poisonous snake that would kill you. And everybody knew that snake was poison and would kill him. And so what happened, that snake latched onto him. It didn't bother him a bit. It had to bother me. But it didn't bother him a bit. He just shook it off. And in so doing, people said, first of all, when it bit him, they said, he's got to be a bad man. Sure, the gods of the boat didn't do it, but his other gods is going to take his life now. And they watched him, and they watched him, and they watched him. And others they've seen bitten by a snake like that and foaming in the mouth and finally die. And here Paul just keeps going. Nothing happens. And then all of a sudden they said, hey, this must be a man of the gods. This must be an important man. And I told you when I studied that months ago, it goes to show you, one moment people will be saying, you know, Hosanna, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Next minute, crucify. One minute, Paul's looking at no matter what's going to happen, you know, God has preserved him, what he's going to do with this island, and the snake bites him, and all of a sudden now, instead of saying he's done something bad, and he's going to reap the reward of that. Next thing you know, they're saying, he must be a great man of God. They didn't know who he was, but to give Paul a chance to turn that in. I'm talking about, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I see the snake that bit Paul did not bother him because he knew that he was going to Rome by God's revelation. If he did looking for a reason, it may not have been there. But God had given him a revelation, in this case beforehand, that he was going to Rome. And in going so, found out that he knew he was going there, and therefore whatever would happen could override anything that did happen to him. And so God says that we do not know the why, just we need to know the who is with you in the situation. Which is our response most of the time is why. If I'd asked you to raise, and I won't raise your hand, has anybody ever had a tragedy happen? You said, Lord, why? 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 And then you hear someone preach a message about we want to trust God, and you feel guilty for saying why. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't ever feel guilty of going to your Heavenly Father and asking him why, as long as you have Scripture to go to get an answer in knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And God can give us assurance that we can't see it right that moment, but the Scriptures does for us in tragedy and trouble just like it does for us in good times. It will bring a solution to our heart and help us understand more about what God's doing in our lives. God says that we do not need to know the why. You just need to know who you are in the situation. By the way, you face anything in life, and I face, don't ever make me anything less than a child of God. I'm a child of God on the mountainside. I'm a child of God down in the valley as good as I am on the mountainside. And I keep in mind that every mountain, every valley has two mountains, one on each side. So in essence, if you think back, you'll find that you share much more of the mountainside than you do the valley. Right? You say, I don't know, preacher. Very rare that a person lives in the valley all the time. There are some good times that comes along. And so faith does not prevent you from getting bit at times with things of this world. So the proof of one's faith is that you're still serving God when the crisis is over. You are serving Jesus Christ before something happens, during something happens, and after something happens, and God gets the praise. And I'm sure that Paul didn't know what, he did not want to be in Melita, and he certainly did not want to have a snake bite him. I mean, someone can say you push the envelope too far if you're not careful. Not when God's doing something, though. His protecting hand is there. People's opinion would call you Emmanuel one day, and the next day they say crucify you. So by faith, Paul thought that he needed this island of Melita due to the storm. But because he needed a place to crash with the ship, he felt like he needed that. And he was glad that God said, hey, ship's going to be destroyed, but you're going to be delivered on that island. But he didn't tell him he's going to be bit by a snake. But I think once you get through a storm and you know you're going to Rome, snakes aren't going to stop you. Amen? I think so. Once Paul got God's revelation, he didn't need an explanation as to what he was in particular in a situation. And so Melita is a place where really you and I have our mistakes, and they can land us there. Some mistakes can land us in a place like Melita. But if we want to serve God, things can be corrected if there's something wrong, or it may be just that where God wants us at that time. Have you ever been somewhere or another, and all of a sudden they open up by the Lord, and you say, you know, Lord, bound to let me by here, because this wouldn't happen like it did if he hadn't led me here. Folks, let me tell you something. God is not just leading us to church, but he's leading us in our everyday life. And so I know that this is important as you look at it. This, Melita, is a place where your mistakes can land you. This is the place, wherever it is, that is the place that we are to still serve God, listen to me, as we did before we get there, as we get during we get there, after we get there, we're still to serve God. It becomes your mission field that you are stationed at by God at that moment. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given us the Great Commission. That means that I should have in my mind, and let's face it, we all fail to do this, that wherever I'm at, it's a mission field. with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nothing else attracts. Paul didn't choose the situation, but he did choose to serve God wherever he was at. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 19, I might need a certain place. And I think, again, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And I think I might need a certain place to be due to a certain storm in my life. And I wrote this down this afternoon while I was studying last, just a comment. And by the way, that's the way the sermons are anyhow. It's draft after draft after draft, because God always condenses it down compared to what you have to start with. And I was thinking about how to end. Lord, somehow know this about serving God. It's a tremendous thing. Every Christian will rejoice over this. And the fact that God is there and we can serve him and we do all things, that anything that's pleasing to God, anything I need to do that for Christ's sake will be pleasing to God. That I might need a certain place to be due to a storm in life, that certain place may need me as a child of God in that situation, which becomes my mission field. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you again, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the people here tonight. I pray that the message has been an inspiration, Lord. I don't know. I know this, but every time, maybe everybody don't get blessed. But yet every time people call and say, preacher, you don't know where I was at. You don't know what's going on. The message was for me. And I say, Lord, thank you, because if I preach to 500 and one person is helped, it's worth it. It's not a waste of time. And Father, we can't see you face to face, but we can trust you and see you through faith. And you said faith is subject to things hoped for, whatever things not seen. And Father, we can know if we walk by faith, God will put solid ground under our feet. And Father, what we do for you, you keep records better than any organization ever has. And one day we'll stand in your presence because of the promise made to us. And Father, somehow or another, I'm sure we can all say to you, even though we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that's always urging us on. Maybe everywhere is not necessary acting as a mission field, but we certainly want to do as many as we can. And help us in our failure. At times when we feel like, well, I should have said something, didn't. On the other hand, help us also be able to evaluate that when I should not say something, I shouldn't because of the situation. Lord, you give wisdom to give the gospel out in a way that it be understood. We're not cramming it down people's throats. We'll ask them to listen if they will, then we go through the process. And sometimes when things happen in life, tragedy comes. We don't like those things, Lord, but we know this, that you can't go through life without having serious situations physically because we're living in bodies that are dying. And sometimes a comforting word can be a help in our mission field. We're going back into the world this week, Lord. I pray that we would look at this and realize that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You supply the need. And our Father, that wherever I'm at, it might be that something would happen this week and we would, our whole course in life would be changed. Where we thought we was going, and was going to be a child of God to give the word of God out in the mission field. You changed the whole field because of a situation in life. Help us learn from Paul. Dear Father, wherever he was at, he was open to give the gospel out. Even in prison in Rome, God gave him access to reach many people he never reached. High-level people in Rome he was able to reach, though he was a prisoner. Lord, let us understand until you get us home. Why we're traveling here in time, every place that we go is our mission field. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.